You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Dr. Deborah Stroman brings you stimulating sports and society discussions with some of the biggest influencing forces in sports and sports business. From athletes to owners, If You Only Knew covers all the bases with informative and engaging content from end zone to end zone.
You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. Welcome to the show, Dr. Galen Duncan. I'm excited to have this chat with you based on our mutual interest in sport business, navigating life after sports, and mental health. Now, we have lots to discuss, so let's get started. First off, I want to tell our listening audience that we connected through a mutual friend, Ron Rice, a former NFL player and business owner back in fact, I went back to my emails back to 2020. It's been that long. And you were kind enough to join our seminar on mental health and athletes. But I want to back up even further with your life. Tell us where it all started for you. Where did you grow up? What sports did you play?
Well, interesting enough, I grew up not far from Ron Rice. We actually met as seniors in high school, juniors in high school. We met around some mutual friends, but had a common bond that we've shared through life. And much of our life was the same. I grew up in Southfield, Michigan, which is 1 mile from 8 Mile, which is, you know, the marker that everyone kind of uses to describe or know what Detroit is. Okay. So I grew up 1 mile from 8 Mile, meaning I was 1 mile outside of the city. My parents were both public school teachers in Detroit. My mother was a social studies teacher for 35 years. And my father was a basketball coach for 30 plus years at Murray Wright High School in Detroit. So to talk about mentors, those were the people that I looked up to. I looked up to my parents. I also had a father who had a lot of fruition and understanding. He knew that I couldn't manage and make it by just having a Southfield education. He made sure that I spent plenty of time in Highland Park, Michigan, where my father's side of the family is from. It's a city that sits in the middle of Detroit, and it's surrounded on each side by Detroit. Highland Park is a very special place to me. But my grandparents were also Detroiters, so I spent many weekends and holidays living and being in their homes in those neighborhoods. I grew up playing all sports. I played everything from ice hockey all the way to basketball. Sure. Eventually, I outgrew hockey in terms of size. My parents weren't going to continue to buy equipment that cost a lot of money, so I had to move into something that was more fiduciary responsible. And so, with my father being a basketball coach, it was an easy pickup for me to continue with my basketball career. And so I played college basketball at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. It was a Division II school. Had a great time there and learned a lot about life. I've had some great mentors throughout my life, from coaches to other folks who have been involved. But in particular, I would say that there's two people, I would say three people that have very positively affected my professional career. The first would be Dr. Eugene Pettis, who was my uncle. He was the first African-American man I met who had a PhD. And he was my first mentor. He handed me off to a gentleman by the name of Dr. Herb Martin, who he felt I had a lot in common with. And Herb Martin gave me my first opportunities to work in the NFL and to work in the NBA.
Wow.
So and then my third person, I can't miss this one. He's probably the biggest one. Dr. Harry Edwards.
Yes.
He has been a mentor to me for the last 10 years. It's just been a great, great friend and mentor. So I've been very lucky.
He's a great man. I was very blessed to write a chapter basically noting his life and his touch on athletics, touch on sociology of sport. Just an amazing legend that we still have amongst us. So in terms of basketball, were you more of the quiet assassin or were you more of the trash talker?
Well, I am from Michigan. And so I tend to run my mouth not to the level of Draymond, but I do tend to speak a little bit on the court. I was a defensive specialist, so I specialized in getting in the other players' heads and being a staunch defender. So I played every position because I'm a coach's kid, so I know how to play.
Well,
But
I'm going to save
yeah, I
that
taught.
conversation around Draymond Green. We'll save that one. Do you have any favorite athletes, or who do you what do you admire in them?
I would say that there's quite a few that I would say I look up to, but I've always had a love for those who would tell you they were going to do it and do it too. Confidence is just a major thing for me. So of course, no other, the greatest fighter ever, Muhammad Ali, will be number one on my list. An amazing person, amazing man, an amazing athlete, and just someone that we could all look up to. Present day, I would have to say, currently, I really respect what Deion Sanders has done for HBCUs, and taking his show on the road to Colorado and showing people how quickly he can turn a program around like that, and telling people why you're doing it. I admire people who don't have a problem telling you that what they're going to do to you and actually doing it.
No, I love that. I love that. And especially you're talking about two athletes who are on the big stage and knowing that if they don't get it right or if they don't win the fight, then they're going to get a lot of backlash. But that's okay. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. In fact, it reminds me of the coaches, and I feel this way with work, that I can give you my playbook. You can know everything that we're going to do, but we're going to execute it so well, you still can't stop us.
100.
So that confidence is great, which also speaks to the work that you do in building confidence in people and finding their greatness. So let's take a break here. We'll be right back to discuss more with Dr. Galen Duncan. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill, and I am very blessed to speak with Dr. Galen Duncan. Dr. Gunkin, let's t Duncan, let's talk about your current position at the University of Illinois at Chicago. What was your motivation to obtain your doctorate and then become involved with athletes? I know you spent so much time with professional sports, with college sports, and probably youth as well. To be an expert in player development, counseling, substance abuse, and therapy. What was your motivation?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, I had a great mentor who I mentioned earlier, Dr. Eugene Pettis, who was the first African American male that I met who was a PhD, and he talked about how important it was for me to get that degree to separate myself. I think that that was a motivating factor. My mother always said that we had to do one better than them. My mother has a master's degree in psychology. And so, it was kind of an unwritten rule in the house that we had to go one better than them. So my brother and I both have PhDs.
Wow. And you listen to her, the discipline to listen to her.
Oh yeah, if you don't, there wasn't much of an option. But no, she was always very motivating in that way. Also, I wasn't a guy who was going to be a professional athlete. I wasn't that good. And I knew that at an early age. I knew I was good enough to make the team. I was good enough to be there, but I wasn't going to be a star and I wasn't going to go to the next level. And so if I wanted to go to the next level, I had to figure out a way. And school allowed me to be an all-star at every level.
Well stated, well stated. Now, you've worked with pro athletes, you worked with college athletes now. Is there a different approach that you use when you share with them in your counseling work?
Sure. I'm pretty direct. I'm a reality-based therapy person, so I don't play a lot with what ifs. I play a lot with what's going on right now with you. And it doesn't really matter where the person is in their career or their life. Therapy begins with the willingness of that individual to be willing to change and listen. So sure, there may be some levels that I would start differently with a college student. But for the most part, any person that I work with, regardless of what they do, I'm starting where they are personally.
No, that is so important. We talk about the foundation, and the important work for parents to give roots and to give wings. But knowing sometimes to go back in someone's past can be painful. And I think it's all about trust, really. So I know your work is really important to bring out that trustful space so they can speak and speak with the trust of what is exactly going on now and to identify that. And certainly, you know, it's very easy to say if you're a pro athlete that it's easier because you've experienced so much and obviously more years in terms of age. But in another way, you can look at it and say it can be more challenging because they've had to mask and they've had to get by and not be honest or even with themselves about their situation. And so the younger athletes, you know, I think about the challenges of college athletics where there's so much control and the coaches not trusting therapists and the administration not willing to invest in therapists and counseling. So it's all across the board. So I appreciate your being in that space. Now, you also have a military background. So how does your military background help you in counseling?
Well, I mean, I've heard it all. You know, there's not much an athlete can tell me that, you know, compares or is would be deemed relevant in the life of a soldier. You know, I know there's been comparisons over the years about going to war and playing and things like that. They're not the same, and they don't require the same level of, you know, pride, bravery, or compassion. One, you're doing for fun, you're doing for sport, you're doing for pay, you're doing for competition, and the other one, you're trying to save your life.
Glad you stated that, please.
Very, very different in the way that we view it. However, there are some things that line up very accurately. When you talk about being disciplined, having a team goal, having something that everyone is trying to get to, living life with values and with honor, and putting your best foot forward, being a role model, all of those things fall in line together when you're talking about working with military folks as well as working with athletes.
Well stated, well stated. Now, we're both fans of Malcolm Gladwell. I just consider him one of the brightest minds. And there are a lot of bright people in this world, but not necessarily having the skill set to articulate it so well orally or in publication books. Any particular insights from him that you hold close or apply in your work?
Yeah, you know, I got my first Malcolm Gladwell book from Jim Caldwell. Coach Caldwell handed it to me, and he's another one of my great mentors and wonderful people who have been great in my career to help me. But probably the one that sticks out the most is practice isn't the thing you do once you're good. It's the thing you do that makes you good. Who we are cannot be separated from where we are from.
Wow. So it's talking about the importance of understanding our position in life.
100%.
How did we get to where we are today? There's a whole story that needs to be unpacked, that needs to be reality-based, right? Wow, that's very strong. Yeah. And coming from Coach Caldwell with his pedigree and credentials, that says a lot. Yeah.
Yes, commitment. It talks about really commitment. That if this is what you're saying that you're going to do, then you're going to practice it until you get it right. And you're going to get it, not just get it right, you're going to get it better than anybody else, aka Steph Curry. Right?
Yes. It reminds me of, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect, right? Yeah. You can go around and practice and do everything and not be committed and, you know, give half effort. That's not going to advance you.
Yeah. I always tell my kids, I have two children, a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, and I always ask them before they play an athletic event, did you give yourself permission to perform? You know, did you shoot your 100 shots a day, 500 shots a day, 1,000 shots a day, whatever you're trying? Did you touch a ball today? Did you go to practice every day? Did you look at the scouting report? Did you give yourself permission to perform?
Can you share one or two tips or recommendations for athletes transitioning from their sporting career?
If you love sport, find a way to be involved. find another way to get involved. I did. I wasn't ready to give up my locker room. So I found the best other way to get on the plane rather than being a coach or a player.
That's true. There are options, there are choices, there are ways to get there. Let's take a
100%.
break here. We'll be right back to discuss more with Dr. Galen Duncan, Senior Associate Athletics Director for Health, Wellness, and Performance at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. I'm talking to Dr. Galen Duncan, who is a leader at the University of Illinois at Chicago, helping students with health and wellness and performance. Dr. Duncan, I am so blessed to have you join me in Costa Rica this July as a facilitator for my Race Realities Retreat. Now, I'm going to be in the background, but I'm so happy to offer a space for men of color to share, learn, and recharge with you and Matt Genius, another licensed therapist. What are you most looking forward to besides the beautiful country, biodiversity, and people?
I'm looking forward to the connections, the growth, to the point where I'm training for this. I'm training physically, I'm training mentally. I'm ready to go down there and positively impact the lives of other men. It's a overused statement, but it's so true. Iron sharpens iron. And it'll be a good opportunity. I'm looking forward to men being vulnerable, to talking about things that we normally wouldn't talk about, to being in spaces and allowing our feelings to exist, and to grow because men have to heal too. And I look forward to teaching these men how to heal, but I'm also looking forward to learning from their experiences in life too, because there's going to be some fabulous people there, undoubtedly.
Yeah. That's a very powerful word, vulnerability. And when we think about, leaders coming together and thinking about how oftentimes we always have to be on our A game. And when do we take the time to breathe and to rest, reset, and recharge? It's almost like we have to be so, so intentional, because days and weeks turns into months and years. And next you know, where the load is getting heavier and heavier, personal and professional demands. And at some point, and hopefully it's not a physical wake-up call where your body just stops and says, I can't take this anymore. And so having this opportunity for everyone to pour into one another, and it's, again, the idea isn't to be lectured to, but just to share this space and learn and grow from one another. So I appreciate your commitment. I appreciate all that you do, and certainly with college athletics and the people that you're still in touch with in professional athletics. We need more of this. And I'm allowing God to use me in that way to provide that space. But when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching your favorite team play, if you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
Man, I don't know if I've ever really thought about that. I think what I would say is this. There's a joke amongst my friends. I always say, I want to lead the league in assists. I want to lead the league in defensive stops. I want everyone else around me to score. I want them to experience the joy of scoring, because I gain so much power and so much strength and so much feeling of accomplishment from helping others succeed. So that would be it. I want people to say, that dude never stepped on the court, but he's the all-time assist leader.
Yes. Yes. And of all the positions that you played in basketball, true point guard, for sure.
Yeah. Amen. Yes,
and
ma'am.
It also reminds me of another description for the servant leader. Servant leader, and that's definitely who you are. So thank you, Dr. Duncan. Thank you for this time share. Thank you for all the insights and sharing your background and experience. Look forward to continued working with you. Dr. Galen Duncan, Senior Associate Athletic Director at the University of Illinois at Chicago, Health, Wellness, and Performance. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill with Dr. Deborah Stroman. You can listen to all episodes at chapelborough.com/ If You Only Knew.